Welcome to episode 3 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast Especials. Today is November the 21st, 2012, a Wednesday, an abnormal day for the show. And I am Matthew Furlough, and this is my statistically challenged brother, James Furlough.
I am. Well, I may not be statistically challenged, but I am digits challenged, for sure. I'm, hurt myself earlier in the week. It was awesome.
Your hand looks rather cut up. Can you operate a mouse effectively?
Left-handed, I'm learning how to do it. But awesome.
Well, we're glad you could make it, James. Today, we will be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera, as we always do. But we're going to focus on one part of that in particular. We're going to be talking to Ian McLean about his Kickstarter project, Statpedia. I want to say hello, Ian.
Hi, how's it going? Ian McLean.
All right. Wait, did I say it wrong?
It's fine. I like to say McLean.
McLean?
Yeah.
McLean.
Okay. McLean. We'll say it right from now on. Okay, we're going to fire our staff, James.
Got it.
Before we get into the show, though, we do have a short disclosure that we gotta go through, if you want to hit that, James.
Oh, yes. So I do work for HP, which is doing awesome in the news right now. However, during this podcast, I do not represent HP or any of their opinions, so keep that in mind.
All right. Will do. It's unlikely we'll talk a lot about HP, but better safe than sorry. So, Ian, if you want, start off, tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing.
Sure. So, I'd say maybe about a year ago, I had this kind of concept that I was telling a couple people about, and from there, we've built what you can see on the Kickstarter today, actually. And I remember back in like 2008, just going on the internet and being able to try to find statistics for things, just on various different categories. And I felt like there was never really like a place where I was able to go to just look up stats. So I'd, you know, type in Google search and stuff. And since then, Wolfram's come out, but Wolfram is limited in the sense that it's only the data that they choose to input into their system.
Right.
And so Statpedia takes the approach of Wikipedia to statistics. And so we've created this way where anyone can go in and create a table or build an article or even submit a link if it's just something and be able to upload stats in all these different methods and then have the revision tracking and then go in and update their data sets and so forth. So and if you go on the search, if you go upload a stat, you can type it in to the search and it'll pop up right there. So it's pretty cool.
Nice.
And we've got big plans for it and we think it's going to be really successful once we're ready to launch it, which is probably going to be around December.
All right. Cool. So I'll start here. You said we. Who is we?
Well, got a team of guys. So when I was talking to people, I communicated to like a couple guys on Facebook on the other side of the world, and they're like, "Yeah, we'll help you." And they're like, "Come out here." And they lived in the Maldives, which is an island chain off the coast of India. And so I was like, "Well, you know, these guys seem pretty serious about it." And then so I was like, "Okay, you know." And so I went out there, you know, had a little bit of money saved up, and they were like, you know, we're willing to help for free and stuff. We like the idea. I thought that was way cool. And so a couple of them, they got involved, and they helped a little bit. And then from there, I met a couple of other guys in India that are really talented. These guys are just, like, internet experts. And so they, you know, building this table API and all these little pieces for a lot of this pretty complex internet stuff. It's been pretty cool, like, just seeing how amazing these guys work. And, So, yeah, there's a team of us. There's about four. There's one designer, And then there's like a project manager and then a head programmer and me. And we pretty much all work on it together.
Nice. So, all right.
Yeah.
So what would you say your domain of expertise is? Is it statistical analysis stuff?
I came from a finance background, and I worked for the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation for a couple of years in risk management, doing like analysis on banks and stuff. And I got like I'd say pretty heavily involved in like looking at charts and stuff on various different trading websites and tracking all the currencies and treasuries and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I guess for me I was pretty big into looking up the stats on things and be able to find them. And I didn't come from real programming background, although I've been pretty heavily into it over the last year or so. And I actually got accepted into UCI for the graduate department for computer science. So
nice, congratulations.
Thanks. But yeah, just building all my knowledge and I wish I was just like super pro at programming, but I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, me too.
there's still like a lot of I worked as also like a business analyst in a tech company where I was a project manager, and so I was working with developers and stuff for implementing projects, and I did a lot of like the work for designing out the wireframes and that sort of stuff, and then being real detailed and thorough on the various different kind of specifications that need to be accomplished. So
nice. Cool. So one of the initial questions that I have had was, it's called Statpedia, and I'm assuming that early on you're going to focus on storing and organizing and displaying statistics, but do you have any hopes of ever like storing raw data of any form and coming at it statistical information from the perspective of allowing people to store large databases of information, or do you kind of see Statpedia as just this is where the finished statistics exist, where you put them in and the analyzed data.
Actually, yeah. I'm looking and I constantly researching stuff on how to maximize the amount of data I can allow individuals to store and stuff like that. And I would really like it to be just like an all-in-one kind of platform where people can go and just do all their statistical work and then just print their published stuff for people to see it on the internet.
Nice.
And we want to build in like a built-in R or MATLAB where people can just go and upload their data sets or feed them in and analyze them all within Statpedia. Working on something called like chart labs where you can go in and play around with the different stuff and then make the kind of stats you want to make. And so but there's just data on everything in this world, and so even like stock market data, like there's a ton of like built-in APIs that we're thinking about just kind of plugging into Statpedia for various different statistical topics that some of these larger companies already do. Just to kind of give us, a little bit of an edge and being able to display that stuff. So.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to, like, I don't know if you thought about this, like, focusing on a niche market that, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to be served really well. And then, you can slowly expand
branch out
there. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, there totally is stats on everything. I know. So I work in the printer division for HP. And with the HP, which it's all proprietary, so unfortunately you probably won't put it in your database. But they track like printing behavior, and I mean like minute, like by printer, how many times people print, how many times it's a regular sheet of paper versus a photo, how many times they slip a little card slot into the printer, how many times hit the cancel button. I mean, they measure all of this stuff, and they're crazy. I mean, we talk about databases in gigabytes. You know, that's the data set size because, you know, HP has a couple customers across the world. yeah, still, at least. Oh, I said that. but yeah, no, you're totally right that there is this data all over the place, for sure.
Yeah. And so, I mean, even if you look around your room, I'm sure you can count up some household item and make a stat out of that, and then people can just make an average on that. And so that was one thing I was really going for, is just creating like a versatile system where people can go and upload the stats and make them public. So, you know, some guy and often some island can upload some stat about himself, and anybody in the world can keep uploading stats. And and I think once the ball gets rolling, it'll really start to show a lot of good stuff. But I was looking at like Wikipedia. Jimmy Wales, he uploaded like the first 200 articles himself, believe, before it even got up, and it wasn't like a super fast success either for Wikipedia. It wasn't just like boom and then all of a sudden Wikipedia's out. It took a lot of, you know, sort of growth and community to kind of, you know, bring it up to where it was at.
And not to mention, I don't think it hasn't been, you know, from my observation, it hasn't been until probably the last 2 or 3 years that you can get away with, you know, using Wikipedia as a source, you know,
and have
people, you know, somewhat, you know, maybe you can't use Wikipedia as a source in like a rigorous, you know, essay, but at least nowadays it's pretty common. Like, oh, I read it on Wikipedia, and everyone's like, yeah, okay, that's valid. You know, I believe it. You know, so it could be, you know, it's been a long trudge for them, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so
that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, we're in it for the long run. You know, it's not just some, you know, thing that I wanted to do short term and then, you know, leave it. You know, I plan on, before I start this project, you know, at least like 5-year commitment of, you know, full time, and until it really just starts taking off and manages itself is what I have planned, at least in my mind. But
so I know you haven't officially launched yet, but can you give us an idea of like how many? I don't know what metric you use, but like how many stats you currently have?
It's not very many. I would say maybe like 10 good ones at the moment.
Okay. So. Yeah, that's cool.
And then there's probably more than that from like all the different images and stuff that I've uploaded. And it's fairly limited in the moment. And I was thinking of maybe different, like doing like a contest or something like that, just to get some quality stuff in there, or... I also have a bunch of free advertising dollars for social network stuff, and so I could use those as well. I am going to use those, and so I think once the word gets out there a bit more, and then
What's the if you don't mind me asking, what's the biggest technical challenge that you guys are having right now? I mean, anytime you start building a new technology, they are bound to crop up.
But happens.
Yeah.
One of them, I have to contact Wolfram. One thing I really want is like a immediate like a fact checker right within Statpedia. So for each one of those little search display boxes, there might be like another search for the Wolfram right next to it to show those results, and that way people can easily verify that data compared to Wolfram data and check it as being valid or invalid. I'm sure there's lots of stuff that people will type in that doesn't have a Wolfram search, but I think is having the valid data next to other data is something that's pretty good. And so Wolfram charges after 2,000 queries from a third-party website. I think I need to get in touch with them and say, Statpedia, or free service, is there any way we can, you know, kind of put your search into Statpedia some way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. Wolfram Alpha is an interesting beast because they're, you know, on one hand, it's, you know, it's basically, it started as, you know, the fun project of what's his name?
Wolfram. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember his first name. But but, you know, it started as his thing after making tons of money off of Mathematica, you know, so he might be like, go have fun on your own. I'm doing my own thing with my money. But hopefully he appreciates the nature of your project. Because like you said, I mean, that if you can go to one place and get a bunch of data and at least, you know, especially early on when you're trying to gain credibility as a reliable source, that can give a lot of credibility to be able to say, look, you can, on our page, you can look at this well-known statistic, you can compare it to other sites, their statistics, you can see the discrepancies, you can see the similarities, and you can use that as soon as we start getting into the weeds, where there are no other statistics on the internet for what we're showing you, you can still trust it because we're using the same process of weeding through information. I could see how, from just my own use, that would help me trust the site more.
Yeah, so that's one of the technical challenges. And then another one is there's current limitations on the internet on how large of a, like, of a Excel sheet you can do, even on Google Docs. And so for very large data sets, if we want to have those on there, you can't just copy and paste it right in.
Right.
With the limitations on the internet right now. So we are going to build in where you can automatically upload Google Docs or Excel spreadsheets to Statpedia.
That's a great idea.
And that'll work. And all that code is open from a great guy named Pete Worden. I don't know if you've heard about him, but he's got a project called Open Heat Map, and it allows users to go upload some stats, and then it plots them to a map and various different things. So it's really cool for like polling and other types of like election stuff. And pretty cool. So yeah, so use that.
So what was the thing where you like, you know, so yeah, you're talking about, you know, technical difficulties, but what was the thing where, you know, you've made it and you've just gone like, this is awesome. Yes, if I can keep doing this the rest of my life, I would love to do it because this is awesome.
Just getting the charts to plot after someone inputs the data, that was like huge. We were like, this is amazing. And then when we were able to like do the revision history and then like it worked, we were just like, wow, it was so cool. And like when we first got the search working and displaying, that was pretty cool too. And even now, like having the little charts display within the search that people create and then being able to like scroll over the charts and see the different data points on the charts within the Statpedia search, like, this is awesome. We're all about search display, and we want to have like the most visually entertaining or
totally
search results that you can find. And so
what technology are you guys using to drive your dynamic website? Are you guys using JavaScript or
We started off with PHP we started off with PHP using CodeIgniter, actually, and then from there we've just implemented loads and loads and loads of JavaScript libraries. Just goes on and on.
Oh, I bet. So not Flash. Good to hear.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I want to know if I can use this on my my Samsung Galaxy S3. I just got a new phone yesterday. I've been reviewing smartphones for the past couple of shows, and so I got a new one. But I want to be able to use. That makes all the difference between, you know, websites that I use regularly and not. If I can quickly reference it on my smartphone as well as, you know, on a large site, that's huge. That's, you know.
Right. And that's really one of the next steps, too, is we've kind of, you know, had all the stages of different progress levels. And the other guys, we've talked about it, and we're really big on getting the initial website out before we release the phone app. But the phone app, it's not too complicated. All it really takes is, you know, a little box where a search bar is, and then being able to just quickly sift through each one of the search results. And then for the phone app, for uploading stats, we want to create like a just like an image taker, so that just take a photo of like maybe if someone's got like a presentation they're doing, it's got some chart, or
interesting.
You know, there's like a statistic in a textbook. So just trying to think of all the best ways to upload stats, most of them, and get them all out there. And so,
thanks.
So yeah, and then even with the like machine learning department, I'm speaking with them, and we're trying to build something where we can sift the internet of all the images and then be able to detect which ones are statistics of charts and stuff, and then be able to interpret those stats into numbers using different language text processing algorithms and stuff. And so we'll see how that goes. But
that sounds incredibly hard, but also very cool if you can do it.
Yeah, so we'll see. Yeah.
Nice.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So what would you say your, like, you know, what's your long-term vision or plan for this thing?
Long-term, I would really like it to be the go-to place for people to look up statistics on things. That's a long-term goal. Is if I can create a tool that the world can use and be able to find the stuff that they're looking for, then think we'll be successful at that video.
Sounds like it. Nice. Do you hope to be able to integrate? I mean, is there, you know, obviously Wolfram Alpha, like, you know, we keep coming back to this one as sort of a, it's nice when their APIs, their search results are able to be ported into a website. Do you have a vision of what it'll look like eventually when, you know, if what Statpedia offers ever gets incorporated into other websites, how do you guys feel like you'll, you know, is that a goal, or do you want this to be a standalone, you know, website? How do you want this information to be used around the internet?
I mean, well, if you look on like Google now, they have like the custom little search boxes for Wikipedia results that people have found. So, you know, depending on, you know, how people are using the internet, I think as long as we're able to provide the information that people want in a good way and the different mechanisms that exist on the internet at the time, then,
It's a pretty good answer. I have no idea what they're going to be doing in 5 years on the internet, so we'll just roll with the punches. Honest answer. Do you plan on a? I know, you know, for Wikipedia, one of the, you know, going back to reliability and, as a source, one of their early on issues was, you know, was the idea of anybody could edit it, and from my observation, the thing that's really made Wikipedia great as a source today is the legion of editors that you know really manage Wikipedia.
Curate.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have is that kind of what you're planning on having happen, or do you guys have a different strategy for making sure that the information on your website is reliable?
Yeah, I mean, I want something that's fully community driven, where the thing basically runs itself, and totally hands off approach if possible. But at the same time, if you know, it isn't necessarily there, then hiring people to do those various different tasks isn't completely out of the picture as well. And I know Wikipedia does hire some of their top editors, so
which is why we get to see a Jimmy Wales sign every once in a while. Please give me money.
Do you guys ever give money to Wikipedia? It's non-profit.
I did give Wikipedia when I saw the Jimmy Wales.
All right, James. James, now it's up to you. Have you given any money?
Oh, no way.
Oh man, I've donated to the collective human knowledge
so
twice, both times.
I am still paying the institution that has given me a lot of knowledge so far. So once my student loans are paid off, I might think about it.
So, man, it's a tax deduction. No, I understand. I don't donate a lot. I just figure, you know, I use it, I might as well help.
I know. Getting internet points, it's fair. That's cool.
Exactly.
So have you thought about doing something like that, you know, in the future? Obviously, going the Pedia route, you know, non-profit-like, Well, maybe I'll just leave it more general. So, like, how do you see your business model going forward on so that, you know, you can keep the lights on and the servers running and things like that?
Right. And so our plan is that with that is hopefully ad-driven. And so I want to do ads in a nice way where they're like Google and people aren't bothered by them. People like the ads that they see and they're not too overbearing to the content or too flashy. And so Facebook and Google, they both kind of have this mindset where we're not going to do any ads for 2 years with the product. And so I've kind of had that sort of image in the back of my head on how it should be so that we really make sure we do it in a nice way that people will actually enjoy the ads instead of being, you know, completely turned off on it. Because I have seen sites where it's just like, you know, you just want to get out of there right away.
Right.
I'm really, really particular on like design and how clean the website looks. And so what will probably happen is do some type of like one of the boxes that displays on search might have like a green border on it instead of a blue if it's an advertisement or some sort, so that companies can push their stuff towards the top easily. And I think there is definitely going to be a good market for it too, because someone looking at baseball stats might want a bunch of different stuff that has to do with baseball and so forth. So I think the model is definitely there for advertising.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and I totally agree that it's something that you don't necessarily need to focus on right away. I was reading this somewhere, I don't remember where, but they were talking about how they were like, what you really need to do is focus on getting the product, because then once you have a quality product and people are using it, then you can focus on learning how to make money. The trick is obviously getting to that point.
Yeah. So we're primarily focused on like building a quality product, and once we do that, then we'll start focusing on that. So
yeah, cool. Totally.
I like it. So speaking of money, I noticed on your Kickstarter page. So I've partaken in a couple of Kickstarter projects recently, and I've been following Kickstarter for a while. I gotta be honest, your pledge goal is pretty low compared to some of the projects I've seen, and for what seems like a very cool project, I was just wondering what the motivation behind that is.
Well, you know, I started it out like trying to raise $300,000 on Kickstarter, and then that was when progress level was a lot lower than it is currently. It got up to $10,000, and it didn't get funded, and then I put up a second one for $20,000. It didn't get funded. And so I'm like, you know what? Like, I'd rather take like a little bit of money than none.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's the $500 limit. You know, if people want to give more than that, then they can. But you know, I don't want to be looking at these funds that I could have got and be like, if I would have set the benchmark limit lower, then I would have received them.
And so, right. I'm
trying to avoid that on this one. But yeah.
How are you going about advertising and trying to kick up attention
on the Kickstarter or
yeah.
in general? I guess I really haven't. I mean, this is definitely pushing it out there, this interview right now.
So. Right.
I guess I was just kind of relying on the Kickstarter community in itself to be able to push it, but. Maybe I should think more on different ideas of how to advertise the Kickstarter project.
I actually have some interest in Kickstarter because it's an unbelievably clever business model. It's one of the coolest open source things online right now, and the more I've gotten into it, the more fascinating and different aspects of how projects become successful or why they fail and stuff like that. So if you don't mind, you know, sharing a little bit about what it's like to, you know, set up a Kickstarter project and what that whole process is like, you know, having never done it.
Well, it's definitely good to have positive energy for something like that, that's for sure. And And it's not too difficult. You just walk through the steps like creating anything else, like a Facebook page and such. And, you know, just it was kind of a shock at first, but I feel like you know, it's easier now and, in terms of, you know, just making a video and description and so forth. And one of the main things Kickstarter, though, is I looked at some of the major projects that we're funding, and it seems like one of the primary drivers is the rewards that the backers. Those rewards are really like people are using Kickstarter as more of like a shopping cart rather than, oh, you know, let's check out what creative projects I can get into.
Hey, don't criticize me, okay? That's exactly how I work on Kickstarter. I want guarantees to have the product first, and I want it cheap.
That's funny.
And so, in terms of my rewards, you know, a free place to upload stats. It's just like, you know, Stat Viewer is a cool concept, but for someone to come and say, "Well, that's great. I'm going to get that anyways." You know, so yeah. So,
no, I liked your one reward. What was it? We'll make some stats about you personally and upload those.
Oh yeah, yeah. So we will upload a stat and say your name, thank you for donating, and upload some statistic that you would like.
That actually could be pretty valuable, because, you know, one of the things I realized about like Wikipedia is you actually have to be significant or they delete you. Like that.
Yeah.
I am a pretty creative guy, and I made it seem like I'm pretty awesome. And I've got a little bit of a, you know, not a gigantic internet footprint, but I've got an internet footprint. So I really felt like I could sell it. I could sell that I'm significant enough to have a Wikipedia page, and the editors came through and were cutthroat. I was gone in moments. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, oh. So, you know, if you could guarantee me that, yes, even, you know, no matter how insignificant I am, that I will have statistics about me, that's kind of cool. I could see how that'd be worth copping up a few bucks for.
That's funny.
We'll see. I think it'll be cool, too, to just see all the different things that people, you know, want me to upload, and figuring it all out. You know, I have a feeling people are going to just ask for impossible tasks, but even still, we're going to do our best to make it happen. So that should be
nice. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's very cool. And we genuinely wish you luck in that it, you know, goes well.
Thanks.
That'd be cool. So what is the, I'm gonna switch gears just a little bit here. So what is the, like the craziest data set or stat you've ever seen?
You got like the particle physics data where, you know, you just got, I don't know if it's exabytes, but just ridiculous amounts of data feeding into these systems, and like for calculating different like entropy stuff, and so basically what they're doing with those is they are taking the data sets, and it requires just a huge amount of memory, but they're instantly like throwing away the data as soon as they have it come in the data, because there's just so much of it. So what these scientists, I believe, are doing is they're just gathering the data from these particle accelerators and such, and then processing it into what are called explorable images. And then from those explorable images, they're able to have a more compressed version of the data of what they're viewing. And they're basically, wow. It's like, so what are you going to do with like all these like huge data sets? You're wanting to do something. You want to, you know, teach someone something, you want to learn something about it. And so if you go in with the mindset of what you want to learn from the data sets before you send them through the program to execute, to gather the data and then process what it's doing, then that's what they're doing. Yeah.
So, I'm going to say
that counts as crazy.
Yeah. I worked for a company, and one of the big projects we were doing, I was helping automate one of their facilities, and my task was actually to automate all of their data collection. So I was wiring up data acquisition stuff and tons of different sensors and everything. And we were measuring pH and just a huge number of different data points. And one of the most interesting part about it was, you know, so you build these awesome interfaces that would, you know, that were going to be interfacing with control systems, and you'd have, you know, these nice visual interfaces that were on the floor so people could read it. But ultimately, you know, it was actually an R&D company. And so the big goal of it all was to be able to take all this data and process it. And so we embarked on this big mission to, the term was historize all of our data, which is basically just collect the data in such a way that we could actually store it and analyze it later. But that was the most fascinating part to me, was how, you know, when you're talking about physical systems, you don't actually need every data point. And oftentimes, if you have every data point, it totally throws you off. And so, like, they could take these gigantic data sets that if they recorded, or, you know, where it's recording 60 data points a second, every second, every minute, every hour of every day, nonstop. That's where you fill up an entire database in a, you know, short period of time. And what they did is they converted it into linear equations. And so anytime things just followed on a trend, each data point they would check if it followed the trend, and then they would just delete that data point and say, okay, and then the trend goes to this timestamp. And if it ever got out far enough outside of it, it would create a new linear direction. So you could really, they could compress, you know, especially like temperature data over the day, they could compress these, you know, tons of data all down to, you know, these like unbelievably small little data sets that could, you know, tell you what the weather was for, like, you know, for years back. And it was, so to me, that data compression stuff, especially for physics, dude, it's awesome. It's so cool, because you can get really, really good data without actually, you know, just based on what sort of compression you're using. And then do all your analysis later.
Yeah, I know weather is like a big one. Those weather guys analyzing all this data.
Yeah, there are some interesting industries, right? I mean, like, weather is a big one. Stocks, obviously, there's a ridiculous amount of data there. It's a different type of data, but there's a ton of, like, government and survey polling data is another huge one, which that'd be interesting. Heck, there's even, I don't know, have you even thought about, like, this is going to sound so stupid, but, like, Twitter data? I know that people.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of that.
Yeah. Like, especially sentiment analysis would be particularly interesting. But
statistic the other day, it said the world produces like 2 exabytes of data a day now, or something like that, or 5 exabytes every 2 days.
That is a lot. Like
that. Say that seems huge.
That's cool.
How many exabytes?
And obviously the goal is to be able to someday, you know, someone will search for that on, I'm guessing they're probably going to start on Google, right? Then they'll search like how much data is created a day. And the goal is for it to, you know, come up Statpedia number one, and they go, oh yeah, totally. Right. I mean, is that kind of,
yeah, that'd be way awesome. You know, just being able to have that, you know, search result right there. I don't think it'd be too difficult either for Google to implement something where they can show like little Statpedia interactive charts within their
search. Yeah, especially with their knowledge graph thingy they're working on. Yeah, that'd be cool. And then when they, so I'm just trying to figure out what the vision would be. So let's say that's the stat that they do, and they go, oh yeah, totally. And they click the blue link, and it sends them to Statpedia. Would they just see the, you know, like what would they see? You know, would it just be the chart with, you know, I remember you had said it had the source and some other stuff. And then would you have, like, related stats around it just because related stats are cool?
Maybe.
Or maybe.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a good idea.
Sounds pretty cool. Yeah, right now it would just direct them to the page where the stat is on.
That's cool.
We want to add, like, comments and other things to sort of make a more community environment. And I already got a couple guys I know that are real good at building, you know, various different social networking applications and stuff like that. Mm. So once we start creating like the user profile and, you know, the community and more moderator tools, hopefully it'll be an active environment of people getting into these stats everywhere.
So, yeah, totally. I think there are definitely some stats geeks out there. I was just thinking another one is sports is another you know, huge one where guys eat up stats all the time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's some large competitors there who make it their business to know sports stats. But no, that's cool. That's very cool. So one of the things I noticed is you keep talking about how you know a bunch of guys, which is kind of awesome. So where are you officially based out of right now?
I am in Irvine, California right now.
Okay.
Going to UCI. So
nice.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you guys? Where are you at?
Go for it, James.
So I am up in the beautiful green Oregon country. Living in the Pacific cool. Northwest, where it rains all the time.
Nice.
It's okay.
And I'm going to take the average of the two of you. I live in the Bay Area, up in technically Los Gatos, California. But for those of you who aren't from California, that's like San Francisco Bay Area. But you know, I always talk about my favorite part about this place is that I drive by NVIDIA and Google and Apple and IBM and HP. And the list just goes on. Like this place is such a hot spot of
bustling.
Oh yeah, it's great. And it's steeped in the tech industry history, which I love. And I probably annoy all my friends because I get into it. But it's nice up here. I like it.
Nice. Awesome.
That's very cool. Do you, so you talked about how you're going to be going to UCI in a little bit.
I'm currently a student there right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm with you. So do you see, stop laughing. So do you see yourself staying in the LA area or eventually moving to like the Bay Area to be closer to some of these other companies?
Yeah, I definitely considered it. So I think it kind of just, it's going to be one of those play it by ear things right now.
Okay.
So,
well, hit me up. We'll hang out. I know the place.
Definitely.
That's funny.
So, yeah, there's been a lot of push. Like, yeah, you got to go up to Silicon Valley. And it's like, well, you know, Southern California's got some good stuff too down here. So.
Oh yeah, you know. You got like movies and whatnot, but.
Disneyland.
Disneyland.
like Broadcom's right next to UCI, and we got Qualcomm.
Those are two big ones.
Right up the street.
Especially.
We got some tech flavor down here.
Oh, yeah. That's the nice part about California, is, I mean, it's I don't know, it's all over the place, but.
Just like Oregon.
There's a reason
it's everywhere.
Just like Oregon. Sure.
Come on, we've got Nike and Intel and data centers.
Costco.
Well, that's in Washington, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
But I was going to ask something. Oh, I wanted to ask, who are you guys using as your server providers?
We're using Just Host right now, justhost.com.
Okay.
And so eventually I put the idea out there for RightScale plus Amazon servers, just because that seems super reliable and I'm never going to have to worry about some traffic explosion. So that's the plan. Just Host has one of their advertisements for their service cost me $40 a year. It's like unlimited SQL space. And I'm like, well.
I was going to say,
sign me up.
That's a lunacy proposition right there.
I'm just like, what are they thinking about Statpedia? I wonder.
That's all right. No,
that's a good problem to have. That's cool.
I would like the day when they come and be like, this is way beyond unlimited. You're just... We're like, okay, we're gonna do that.
When we said unlimited, we meant it like the carriers meant it. That's funny. That's very cool. That's very cool. So any other, like, you know, thoughts rolling around in your head, you know, just in regard to the, you know, the world of stats in general? You know, I know that one of the big terms being thrown out is, like, you know, big data. You know, I know that's a current buzzword. I like it because it's cool. And I like to put it in all caps because it's cool. And, you know, do you see that as, you know, similar to what it is that you're doing? Or do you really see yourself as more of, you know, we're going to focus on, I don't know the best way to say it, you know, more of that stats, the, it's hard to describe, but maybe you can interpret what I just said. And
if I could get every single piece of data out there on in the world on Statpedia, then that would be like amazing, and just be able to like analyze it of all this stuff in like one place, you know. So if they build like some device that's just able to store all the data of the world, then I would buy it.
I imagine it would be expensive. We better get you kicking on Kickstarter.
Yeah, well, we know that HP recently bought something like that for like $11 billion, but that's not working out very well right now. But
is anything working out really well? Oh, that was mean.
Just,
I'm sorry.
We need like all this data on like a Hilbert space somehow or something. I don't know. There's got to be a way.
So. That's very cool. That's very cool. Wow, that is awesome. Well, Ian, thanks for taking the time to talk with us. For those of you listening, we're going to have the Kickstarter link up on our website so you can go, you know, visit it, check it out. There's a couple videos there that you can also watch on, you know, kind of how it works. Oh, GPS signal's gone. Who's traveling?
I was. I thought I made that thing be quiet. I guess it's okay. I'm gonna give my first Android review. Sometimes this thing just does not make any sense. What it does, what it decides to do, and when, especially the navigation. Navigation works great unless you like get a phone call and it screams in your ear over the person talking to you.
Awesome.
It's crazy. So I gotta figure out how to get this thing under control.
Love it. Cool.
Well, yeah. Thank you, James, and thank you, Matthew, for having me on your show. We appreciate it.
And, our pleasure.
Great to meet you guys.
Definitely. Good luck again on your Kickstarter project. We, you know, hope that you hit your goal. And more importantly, we'll be excited to watch you over the next few years to see, you know, as it grows and what stats you accumulate. And you should, okay, my last brilliant idea, especially since the end of the year is coming up, you should do your own version of a zeitgeist of some sort. It just seems totally appropriate for, you know, what it is that you're doing.
Okay, but yeah.
Just lock that one away. And that could be your advertising type of deal. You know, something cool where people go. I personally, I love infographics because I'm a nerd like that. But yeah. No, it's awesome. It's a very cool product. We'll be rooting for you. And we're excited to see where it goes.
Cool. Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely. And now I will figure out how to end this thing somehow.
Take care, guys.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Bye.